Amen. If you flip in your Bibles, go ahead. We're going to go to the communion portion of the scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. How many of you here, and we talked about this last week, we've talked about it before, but how many of you, I got a two-part question. How many of you know Jesus as your healer? Anybody? You know him as your healer. Okay, that means you get sick.
You don't call the doctor first. You call Jesus first. May not be your last call, but it's your first one. Amen? Okay. How many have ever been healed by Jesus, whether you call him your healer or not? Okay. Last week, when I was praying, this thing was on my heart all week that, you know, we pray for the sick a lot, we minister, but I don't know how many times I've actually just preached the message on Jesus the healer. I've been walking by the grace of God, by the very grace of God in divine health for years. And I mean the grace of God. If I boast, I'll boast in the Lord. God has just kept Pam and I in divine health. Anytime we get a sniffle or anything, we go right to the Lord in prayer and we stand in the victory of Christ. I practice and believe in divine healing. And I know in the body of Christ, not everybody does. I know that. Do you know how I feel about people that don't believe in it? I love them. I love them. I just think you're missing out when you don't take advantage of everything that Jesus has provided for you on the cross. I can't explain what people ask me. You know, I think one of the big stumbling blocks with divine healing, they, what about so-and-so, and what about this, and what about, I don't know about so-and-so. I'm not God. I don't know why this person did or this person didn't or why we prayed for, I don't know. But I know what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And I know in my life, Jesus has touched me and kept me in divine health for years and years. And I want to bless you with that because there's many things to learn about. My idea, my thought today is not just to teach healing, but I really want to teach you about divine health and how to walk in God's health. Because it's one thing to get healed. Would you rather, you ever played that game? Would you rather get healed 5 times or just never get sick? What would you rather, huh? Would you rather need to get healed all the time or would you rather walk in divine health? As for me, I'd rather walk in God's health and God's healing power. Now, many times we come in, we sing these songs about how God has victory, and we might even sing how God's our healer and how we're singing praises or we declare these things about God. But I want to know how many of us take the promises of God in the Word of God and we actually apply them to our life. Do you know if you don't take faith in the Word of God and do something with it, it will lay there and do you no good? Faith without some action, faith without works is dead, being by itself. Everything in the Word of God that has been promised to you or that God has offered you or that you have inherited, if you don't believe it and mix it with faith, it will just lay there. In fact, I think it's the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It said that the Word didn't profit them when they preached in the wilderness because they didn't take that Word and they didn't mix it with faith. And I'll tell you, when the storm comes and when the hurricanes come and the problems come in your life, when that storm comes, it's not time to look at your foundation. The time to look at your foundation of your house and what your house is built on is before that storm comes. Charlie, I lost power this week. The storm came and it blew and it knocked my power out. And I thank God, before the storm came, I have a generator out in my barn, by barn area. And I've tested that generator. I've got gasoline in that generator. So I know when the storm comes, I have a power source that I can connect into. I can connect it into my refrigerator. And I'm going to have power even during the storm. But I tell you what, when that storm came, if I didn't have that generator, that is not the time to try to run to Lowe's and find a generator. Do you remember that storm they had a few years back? And I mean, trees were knocked down. There was ice everywhere. Do you know you couldn't find a generator anywhere? You went, and I think they probably, for some reason, a $500 generator was $750 if you could find one. The price goes up. It's almost like the parable of the foolish virgin. The foolish virgins, there were 10 of them. 5, they were full of oil. They were full of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the presence of God. And when Jesus came, they were ready. But the other 5, they didn't have the oil. They didn't have what it took. And when Jesus came, they weren't ready. And when they went out to get the oil, the master of the house returned, and they missed out. What am I saying? Folks, right now is time to get the oil of the anointing. Right now, it's time for you to plug into the Word of God. Right now, it's time for you to plug into the promises of God. I tell you, when I first heard this word in the Scriptures about healing, I was a Church of Christ kid, never heard of such a thing, and they started teaching divine health and healing, I knew I wanted it. And I remember, like everybody, when you hear about divine health and healing, you get tested. You know, Charlie, you get hit with the flu, or you get hit with a cold, or something comes after you and tries to challenge your faith. The time to walk in faith, the time to believe God, is when you have the small test. Amen? When little things come at you, when the little foxes come at you. You know, if you're a boxer or something, you don't start off boxing Muhammad Ali. You don't go into the heavyweights and they throw you in the ring and you're boxing Muhammad Ali. You start off and you have a fight with some junior guy. And if you can beat him, then you get another fight. And if you beat him, you get another fight. And if you beat him, you get another fight. We don't just start off. And I'm telling you, the way to learn and to walk in faith and walk in the Spirit of God and walk in health is when any time that you get challenged in your life with any sickness, anything that attacks you, you need to stand up against it by faith in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. If you hear you get the big C and you've never believed God for a sniffle or a headache or anything, good luck. Amen? Now, God's grace can be on you. Someone can pray for you and God can have mercy on you. But I want to teach you how to walk in the promises of God. And folks, it takes faith. It takes mixing the word. It takes every day. And if I could just jump off of healing, it's not just healing, but every promise in the Word of God, if you're going to walk in it, you have to apply it into your life. It will do you no good if you don't mix it with faith. When it comes to giving and receiving, you got to start acting on what the Word says about it. Talon, I think I told you about this. It's happened in my life so many times in giving and receiving. I bought Talon a pound of coffee for his birthday. I'm not bragging about it. It's for the store. And I had it in my car, and I set it in my car to give him, and I was looking forward to giving it to him. And on the Sunday, I came. Him and his wife were having the anniversary. They weren't here. But I had that pound of coffee in my car, and I was ready to give it to him. And I came into church, and Sonny walks up to me, and she says, "Hey, Brad, look. Someone left a pound of coffee. It's for you, some insurance company." And they gave me a coffee roaster's coffee from, I think, the coffee shack, a cup, 2 pounds of coffee. I had a pound of coffee in my car, and someone handed me 2 pounds of coffee. And I just thought, oh, that's God. That's God. I'm just sowing and reaping. I'm giving away a pound. I'm getting back 2 pounds. Do you know how many times in my life that principle has worked in my life? Give away a car, get a car. Give away $100, someone give me $200. How many times in my life just operating in the principles of God, not even trying, not asking God for anything, not believing God necessarily, but just giving to somebody, how many times I'll sow and I'll reap, I'll sow and I'll reap. And I absolutely believe in that principle. When you really believe, I'll get back to healing in a minute. When you really believe in the Word of God and those divine principles, and you start putting them to action in your life, they'll work in your life and you'll get excited about it. Jay said this morning, don't give if you're given with hesitancy and you don't want to give. We don't want folks to come in. We're not trying to drag money out of people. What I want to do, I want to give to you. I'm getting more and more regarding this church is I don't want anything from this church. And you guys pay me and I'm grateful for it. But I'm getting more and more where I want to give something. I want to be a go-giver. I don't want to look at people and say, what can I get from that person? I want to look at people and say, what can I give to those people? And when in our lives we get to that point where we're saying, hey, how can I put the word of God to effect? How can I get? When you know that these things work, you'll be excited to give, is what I'm saying. You won't have to give grudgingly. In this church, we don't want people to put a grudging dollar in the offering. I don't. That disgusts me. I don't want anybody to think that we're trying to beg you or that we're going to go under. We're not going to go under. The church isn't going to go under if you don't throw $10 in. What we want you to do is believe the word, love God, and give graciously, and give hilariously, and give joyfully. Been tithing for years, doing it, and I love it. When I write my tithe checks out, make my confessions, and put them in, I do it gladly and willfully because I know that God cannot lie. And God will do what he says he's going to do. I like feeding hungry kids. Denny was here last week talking about the kids that we're feeding in Haiti. We're taking care of kids in India. I like to do that, don't you? Don't you like feeding those kids? Wouldn't you like to have a little more sometime to give a little more away? I was listening to Heidi Baker last night talking about the poverty and the sickness and the hunger and the displacement of the people in Africa. And PT was talking about what's going on in India. And I want to be in a position to help those people. We're so blessed in this nation. We have so much. And when we live in the kingdom of God, we really are living in the realm of potentiality. We're living in the realm of possibility. I'm getting to the place, Jeff, you talk about the grace of God. When I step out my door, I'm saying, God, this day is your day. I want to walk in your grace. I could figure out I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I said, God, I really just want to walk in your grace. Today, the word of God says all things are possible. I'm stepping out of my house. God, put me in your plan for my life. Put me in your will for my life. And when you live that way and we live open to God, it is amazing the situations you encounter and the people you encounter. I ran into a guy at the gym this week, and we went and had coffee together. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he said, and I ran into him, and he said to me, I was just thinking about you. I said, here I am. And we went and had coffee. We have to learn, and I want to teach, because I know there's a lot of beginners and people that don't understand the Word of God. We have to learn to put the Word of God to action. Let me read this from the communion. I'll go ahead and in 1 Corinthians 11. I'll just go from here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Someone say that. This is for me. Jesus said, don't just read it. Jesus said, this is my body, and it's for you. It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now listen to this. Whoever therefore eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. That is why many of you are weak, many are sick, and many have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give direction when I come. Now, I don't want to give a heavy word here. Now, that's a pretty heavy word. We're going to take communion here. But I keyed it on that part. He says, many of you are weak and you're sick and you're under judgment because you don't discern the body. You just come in and you take communion and you're not discerning. And there's different ways you can look at that. Some teach you're discerning Jesus' death on the cross because he by his stripes you're healed. And there's truth to that. But if you read in the context of this scripture, he's talking about people in relationship to one another. Just read chapter 12 and just go to chapter 10. In the context of it, he's talking about relationships. He's talking about how we walk with one another. And he said we need to discern the body. We not only need to discern Jesus' body, but we need to discern the body. And I was thinking, you know, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's never changed. And he's revealed himself, Jason, in the Old Testament, he revealed himself as the Lord our healer. And he's revealed himself in the New Testament as the Lord our healer. In the Old Testament, the Bible talked about curses and blessings. And under the law, when the people of Israel, when the Jewish people were given the law, they were told, and listen carefully to this, they were told, if you obey my law, and you do this, and I'm referencing Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you obey me and you do all my commandments, he said, all these blessings will come on you. I wish I had time to go there and turn. I don't have time to turn there. He says, I will heal you. I will bless you financially. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your cows. I will bless everything. I'll bless your goats. I'll bless your car. If you had a car, I'd bless your transportation. Everything that you set your hand to do, God promised his people that he would bless them. He said, however, if you don't obey my laws and you don't do what I say, and he listed off, and there was probably about 14 blessings, then he listed off about 30 to I don't know how many curses. He said, if you don't obey my law and if you don't follow me, he said, all of this judgment will come on you. And he listed, this will happen. You won't be blessed in your family. You won't be blessed in your store. You won't be blessed in your workplace. You won't be blessed in your body. Sickness will come in one way. It'll chase you out. Your enemies will pursue you. You'll be under judgment. So he told them they had to obey, not just the law, but he said you had to obey the voice of the Lord. And he said these blessings would come on you or these curses. Now, I got good news. I don't want to leave you there. As New Testament believers, we know that Christ bore the curse of broken law. How many know that? Anybody know that? Galatians 3:13 said all the curses that were going to come on you because you broke God's law, if you were a Jewish person, you were under the law, all the curses that were on you, he says Jesus became a curse. He took the curse on him, so now you don't have to walk in that curse. Amen. I wish I had time to read that, just to go back in Deuteronomy. You need to read that. Go and read Deuteronomy 28. And when Paul was referencing that, he says, Christ became a curse for you, so you don't have to bear that curse. And that curse included poverty, spiritual death, disease, and sickness. It was not a blessing. Did you know that? I know this is controversial for some. Was sickness a blessing in the Old Testament? No, it wasn't a blessing. And it's not a blessing today. Anybody blessed by your sickness? You get sick? The Bible teaches it's a curse. It's not good. You'll say, well, Brother Brad, how do we get healed then in the New Testament? If all those things came on them when they broke the law, they disobeyed God, the Word of God says that Jesus became a curse for you, so you don't have to bear the curse. There is no curse for the believer. There's no cursing. When Jesus hung on that cross, the Bible says that by his stripes, you were healed. He took your stripes. When he hung on that cross, do you know back in the Old Testament, when they lifted up, put those snakes on the pole, and they lifted those snakes up on the pole, what happened when they looked at that snake on the pole? Anybody know? They got healed. When they looked at that snake on the pole and they raised it up, the people got healed. That snake represented Jesus on the cross becoming a curse for you. That he became a curse for you. And when we look at Jesus and look at Christ, we can receive healing in our body. Did you know that? Flip over for me. And I know this is, I wish I could preach this smooth. Flip over to Galatians chapter 3, because I want you to see this. I've prayed for people here in this church dozens of times. I don't know that I've ever on a Sunday morning just took any time to go through this. I got to share it because I walk in it by the grace of God. You know, when COVID hit, and I know COVID's real, I wasn't afraid 5 seconds. I wasn't afraid 5 seconds. I was concerned about people in the church. I was concerned about people, you know, not everybody believes like I do, I know that. I know in my life that God has me. 100% He has me. I have nothing to fear. The Lord has me. As long as I'm walking in the will of God, there is absolutely nothing to fear in my life. And you don't have to live in fear either. Not one bit. Do you know Jesus took every curse? I'm talking about sinful curse. Every sinful curse that was due to you, do you know Jesus took it? Do you know you don't have to experience double jeopardy? Anybody ever watch that movie, Double Jeopardy? You ever watch that? Remember that? And remember, didn't she kill her husband?
She was blamed.
But she got blamed for killing her husband. She got thrown in jail or something happened. I can't remember the whole, what's her name, Judd? But anyway, huh? Anyway, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, she got blamed for killing her husband. He set this thing up and he wasn't really dead. But anyway, the bottom line is, she got charged for it and convicted. So when she got out of trouble or out of jail, however it worked, she actually went out and killed him. And she couldn't get tried for killing him because there'd be double jeopardy. You can't go to prison for killing somebody you've already killed. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know, wives, if you can use that. I don't know how that works. But that's what the Lord... With healing, and it's the curse. How many of you have given your life to the Lord and you expect to go to hell? You've given your life to the Lord, and when you die, you expect to go to hell. Why not? Because the Lord paid for it, didn't he? It's already been paid for. What if you read in the Bible that Jesus already bore your sicknesses? Would you expect to have to endure them? The whole covenant, I've never taught this plain on healing in this church ever before, but I'm going to because I walk in it and I want you to walk in it. The whole covenant works by your faith in believing it. The whole thing. You get saved and go to heaven. If you can't believe Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Sometimes people say, well, Brian, if you teach healing, people get in condemnation because they get, no. Sickness is the condemnation. Sickness is a condemning sentence. It's a curse. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. When you go home, it's in more places. Sickness is the condemnation in your physical body. God's not condemning you with it. Jesus isn't condemning you. But the sickness itself, just like sin, is a condemnation. The soul that sins dies. Sin is a condemnation. When the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ, what that means, there's no more condemning sentences on you. There's no condemnation. There's no more judgment. You give your life to the Lord, He's not going to judge you anymore. Remember we talked about, you know, your buddy stepped forward and he went to the electric chair and he took that electric chair for you and you're standing there and the judge tells you, you go free. Well, I can't go free. I'm guilty. No, Your buddy just took the electric chair for you. You're free to go. I can't put you in that chair because he already took it. That's how it is with your sins. Do you believe that? You better believe it. That's how you get saved, believing that Jesus took your sins, believing that he took your eternal punishment. If you can go one step further, there's no condemnation if you get, as far as feeling guilty, oh, I got sick and Brother Brad said I should be healed. There's no condemnation in that. You got the sniffles. You don't have to hide from me and pretend like you're holy. If I came down with something tomorrow and I wasn't, you know, and I didn't, I wouldn't try to hide from you. I hope I wouldn't try to hide. Say, pray for me. I shouldn't be having this. I go to my healer and say, what's going on here, Lord? There's no condemnation, is what I'm saying. A lot of times people feel guilty when you teach healing. Like, well, I'm sick. I don't care. The sickness is the condemnation. That's what I'm teaching. In Galatians 3, I want to read this to you so you can see it in the Word. I'm going to slow down a little bit this morning. Is that okay? I have to. I got to slow down a little bit because I want you to see that this is in the Bible. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. That's actually throughout the law, not just in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Basically, he's saying, if you're going to get justified by the law, you got to do the whole thing. Do it all or go home. If you want to be justified by the law, how many has never sinned in this room? Well, let's just give up on the law then, okay? You're not going to get saved by the law. Well, let's just all look to Jesus then, okay? Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. You got to say that to yourself. Cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The curse went on Jesus. And if the curse went on Jesus, that means you don't have to receive the curses, and there's a bunch of them, and you receive it just by faith. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, see, well, Brother Brad, you know, there's a lot of sickness in the body of Christ, and there's a lot of, the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Divine healing isn't taught everywhere. And the Word says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's also ways in our life where we read in 1 Corinthians that we can open the door to the devil. The Bible says, don't give the devil any opportunity, any room. And the Lord has showed me how to shut the door to the devil, how to be devil-proof, how you don't have to be afraid of the devil. And I'm going to give you some scriptures. In the Old Testament, you had to obey the law. You know what we in the New Testament, what we do as believers, we want to walk in God's blessing. Christians, you know what we do? Do we obey the law? We're not under the law. What do Christians do? There's more than one answer, but you can say what? We're in relationship with Jesus by faith. The Lord taught me this. There is a law of the new creature. You guys are new creations. You know that when you're born again. The new creation is not under law because you're under a higher order of existence. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, she is, you are. Everybody in this room that has Jesus in their life, you're a new creation. You're a new person. That new person is not bound to this earth realm. The Word says that we're connected to Christ. We've been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Does it say that? Does it say it? I'm not making it up. It says it, Colossians chapter 3. We're connected to Jesus. We're living in a higher realm. The reason we're not under the law of death, the law of sin and death, is because we're under a new law. We're under the law of the Spirit of life. Actually, the Word says we're under the law of Christ. We walk in the law of love. The new creation, when you're born again, and we want to walk in God's promises and walk in God's blessing, we have to learn to walk under the law of the kingdom, and the law of the kingdom is just the law of love. It's the law of love. Romans 13:8 says that love does no ill to its neighbor. It does nothing wrong to its neighbor. Doesn't speak evil about its neighbor. Doesn't talk bad about its neighbor. Doesn't fight with its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's powerful. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment, and my commandment is this, that you love one another. The Lord taught me a long time ago, he says, Brad, he's to just love people. Walk in love, and you'll never break one of my commandments if you walk in love. If you walk in love, in fact, the Apostle John said, there's two things I want you to do. I want you to believe on the name of Jesus, and I want you to walk in love. That's the two commandments I'm giving you. When you walk in love, the devil has no position of opportunity in your life. Can't get in your marriage. Takes two to tango. You ever heard that? Your wife can't fight with you if you don't fight back. Vice versa. Your neighbor can't fuss with you if you don't fuss with your neighbor. Why do you think Jesus taught things like going the extra mile, turning the other cheek? All those things he taught. Someone compels you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. That is the law of love. He wasn't giving you new rules to follow to higher steps to living. Jesus was teaching us how to walk in love. Someone asks you for $5, give them $10. They take your coat, give them your coat too. He's teaching you how to walk in love. That promise in Psalms 91, that no plague will come nigh your dwelling, says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we walk in God, the God kind of love, when we walk in the God kind of love, there is not an opportunity or a position for Satan to get at us. I think, Jackie, you talked to me about this just recently. When Satan came and Jesus said, Satan's coming after me, but he has no place in me. There's nothing in me for him. Can you say that? Satan's coming after me, but there's nothing in me for him. I'm not slandering my neighbor. I don't slander anybody. The Word says don't slander anybody. That's why as tempting as it is to slander politicians, I'll bite my tongue. Because it said, don't slander anybody. Don't speak. The Word of God says, don't speak evil of any man. That can be hard sometimes in our flesh. We just want to speak out. When we walk in love, the Bible says, be imitators of God. This is Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God and walk in love. You know how in the Old Testament it said if you obeyed the law, all these blessings would come after you, they'd pursue you, and they would chase after you? In the new covenant, when you walk in love, when you determine, I don't care what anybody else in this universe does, I am going to walk in love. I am going to love my neighbor as myself, period. I'm not going to be a selfish. Who wants to be selfish anyway? I'm going to learn to be a go-giver instead of a go-getter. I'm going to be a go-giver. That's what the Word says. It says when you give, you're going to receive. Whoever sows, they're going to reap. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's the law of the new creation. Jesus is not giving you new rules to operate by. He's giving you the law of the new creation, the law of your being. The law of your being is when you give, it'll be given to you. When you forgive, you'll be forgiven. When you don't forgive, it's not that God doesn't forgive you. You bind unforgiveness to yourself. Why wouldn't you forgive? When you forgive, you're forgiven. When you give, you receive. I love that saying by St. Francis of Assisi. It says, in giving, we receive. That's why a Christian, we should be aggressively going out and giving, aggressively going out and loving, not being on the defense, oh, the devil's going to get me, the Antichrist is going to get me. We should be so busy, aggressively living the Christian life, living and forgiving, giving, loving. And it says when we do that, that's, he says, the blessings will chase you down. They'll chase you down. They'll come after you. You won't have to do 10 confessions and ask God to bless you. Those blessings will overflow you. In fact, I know there's science on the fact that if you get your life tangled up in resentment, unforgiveness, and bitterness, it brings all kinds of ills to your body. They even said, and I don't want to talk about COVID a bunch. I don't want to argue with people. I don't want to talk about, but they even said fear is an activator of disease. Stay inside, shut off all the ventilation, don't get any fresh air, and live in fear. See how healthy you are. Love is healthy. Not living in strife is healthy. Do you have to agree with everybody? No. You don't have to agree with everybody. Can you make a stand? I tell you all the time, yeah, you can make a stand on things. What you can't do is get in strife. You can't do. Paul said, be imitators of God and walk in love like Jesus who laid down his life for us. I got one more scripture. I may exhort a bit, then I'll wrap it up. We're going to take communion and we're going to receive healing, whether you want to or not. If you get sick, you got something wrong with you, don't get in condemnation. Don't get in condemnation about what good would that do you? I'm not putting you in condemnation. There's people in here living in sin. I love them. I love them much as I love all you ones that got crooked halos on out there. I do. There's people I know in this church doing things wrong. They don't even know I know, and I know. And I still love them. I haven't even bothered them about it. I'm letting them grow up a little bit. What? So if I love you when you're, I love people that talk bad about me. I always hear when someone says something, almost always, maybe not always, when someone says something bad about me, you wouldn't even know it. Why? Because I just choose to love people. I want to love people. Why would you let someone else determine your attitude toward them? Why would you let someone control you by not forgiving them? Why would you let them control you? Why would you allow a president to control your emotions, what he says and does? You're a priest and a king. You should pray. Amen. I don't want to be controlled by people. I'm not perfect in it. When Paul says he's not perfect, he means he's not perfect in love yet. I want to be perfected. The thing that we should be pursuing is becoming perfected in the love of God. You don't have to even agree with me on healing. We can still walk together. Get perfect in love, and God's blessings will overtake you. See, if you go and study the new man in the Scripture, the Bible says when you give yourself to Christ, you're a new creation. Whether you know it or not, you're a new person. You're actually a new species of being. You're born again. Christ lives in you. There's something different about you. The one that walked on the sea, the one that healed people in Galilee, I don't know how to say it. I say it over and over. He lives inside of you. If you can turn him loose, can you imagine what can happen in your life? I'm trying to turn him loose. I get afraid to turn him loose sometime. How about you? He's a lot bolder and bigger and braver than I am, but I want to turn him loose. After how many years of marriage, I'm really learning how to turn him loose in my marriage, and it's awesome. Amen. It's hard for a woman not to like you when you're telling her how beautiful she is all the time. Hallelujah. I tell you, I won't even go there. Praise the Lord. Love works, men. Love works. And who said that? Who said that? Amen. And flowers. That's when you mess up first, Brad. No, okay. I tell you, woo, man, praise the Lord. Love works. If it's not working, men, just get back to your loving because it works. Women want to be loved. Men do too. And we want food as well. Let me read you this. What I'm getting at is you're a new creation. You're under the law of Christ now. You're not under the law of Moses. You've been born again. God lives inside of you. Just think how big that statement is. Everybody, the smallest, most insignificant person in the kingdom of God, I preached a few weeks ago, is greater than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. Can Jesus lie? Well, then, Brandon Ricketts, you're greater than John the Baptist. According to what Jesus said, you have more potential. You have more to look forward to. You have more power. You have more raw native potentiality in you than John the Baptist ever dreamed of, because all he could do was announce the kingdom. You get the kingdom inside. And everything that comes with the kingdom is yours now. Now, you're not in heaven yet. Jesus promised you persecution. He promised you that in this world you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Folks, we're different. I'm not going to patty cake it anymore. You're born again. You're a new species of being. You're not supposed to be walking in your flesh, seeing in the flesh, perceiving in the flesh, living in the flesh. You dog eat dog, I get bit, I bite back. You bark, I bark. You bite, I bite. That's not how we live anymore. We don't live that way. We have a Father that cares for us. We have the great physician that heals our body. We have a God that provides for us. Seek first the kingdom and everything will be added. He said, be of good cheer. He says, don't worry. The birds of the air, they don't worry about what they're going to eat. The lilies of the field, they don't try to grow. They just grow because your heavenly Father cares for them. How much greater are you than any flower or any lily? He said, just seek after me. I'll take care of everything. Fall on your face, Kelsey. Fall on your face and worship me. I'll take care of everything. And he will. If it's true, it's true. And if it's not, we should be playing softball or something or golfing. One more scripture. I'm trying to get there. Galatians chapter 5. Wow. He said, I'll just start with verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For, I've been trying to teach this in Christ for 5 years now. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. That means being initiated into the law of Moses doesn't count for anything. God doesn't care about your righteousness. Your righteousness is flimsy. I did this. I didn't do that. I did this. It's flimsy. God says, I'm going to give you righteousness, and it's going to be a real righteousness. It's Jesus's righteousness, and it's powerful. Quit jotting tiddling with me. I want your heart. I want Jesus in there. I want you walking and loving like Jesus. I don't want you jotting tiddling because you jotting tiddled. Circumcision doesn't count, nor uncircumcision. What does? One place he said a new creation. Here, actually in Galatians chapter 6, here he says, what counts? Faith counts when it works by love. How does the new covenant operate, Charlie? It operates out of love. Faith working by love. Faith working by love. Trusting God, believing in God. Someone said, and I don't know if it was you, Jackie, but someone said, unbelief is the sin. Unbelief is the sin because God's provided everything for us. It's when we're walking on the water of God's word and we're walking by faith, things happen in our life and we start doubting it, and unbelief sinks our ship every time. And God in his grace always, for me in my life, I've sunk many times, Charlie, and God in his grace always has come back in and pulled me back up and took me out of the water and got me back up and said, start walking again. Faith works by love. It's hard to operate in faith without love. Because love's when you care about people. Love's when you're going to be able to turn the other cheek. Love's when you're going to be able to forgive. Love's when you're going to be able to walk on the word because you trust your Father. Love has everything to do with trust. Darling, you trust Kelsey because you love her. You've learned to trust her. You have a relationship. It's how your walk with God is. You learn to know God. God ain't going to lie to you. You got a loving, trusting relationship. Faith works by love. It's the law of the new creation, and there is no limit to it. The law, there's a limit. Law's limiting. Don't do this, do this. Love is limitless. God puts no limit on how much you can love. You can love ridiculously. You can be just out of your mind loving people, and God will never say, put the brakes on, you're loving too much. Oh, you're going to Africa so you can feed hungry kids in Africa? Put the brakes on, Brad. Oh, my. Oh, wait, put that 100 back and just give 20, Brad. Put the brakes on. God doesn't put the brakes on love. You can love to your heart's content. There's no limit on it. Amen. Isn't that good? You have as much faith as you want. Faith's knowing God. How much you know God depends on you. How much you know God depends on you. Here's what I want to do. I didn't want to introduce condemnation in the communion. Before the elders come up, Paul said people were sick and they were dying and because they didn't discern the body. And part of it is discerning Jesus' body. He, by his stripes, were healed. He bore our sins on the tree. He took our curse. But you look in context. There's another part to that. People were jumping in front of each other. You know, there's the last piece of steak and I'm jumping in front of you and getting it first. They weren't preferring one another. They weren't walking in love. They weren't walking in love. And they had a lot of, trust me, read the book. They had a lot of problems in that church in Corinth. People were fussing and fighting. Paul said they were envious, they were jealous, they were in competition. They had all these, he's trying to get them to walk in unity, tell them about how we're one big body, how we're connected. It's like that, I thought about this again last night. It's like unforgiveness, people not forgiving each other. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping you die. I'm going to drink the poison, and I hope you die. That's unforgiveness. Amen. Crazy, isn't it? Oh, I just can't stand you. I'm not going to forgive you. Glung, 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 glung. I just hope you die. Would someone hand me the poison? You're the one that gets poisoned. You're the one that dies. You're the one that gets sick. Paul said, hey, discern the body. Love one another. If you haven't discerned the body, if you're gossiping, if you're treating each other wrong, I don't just your family. He goes, repent of it. Examine yourself. Examine how you talk. Repent of it. Then take communion. God, I sinned. I missed it. Father, I'm sorry. Lord, teach me to love. Then you can look at Jesus' body and discern his body and say, Lord, by your stripes, I'm healed. Jesus lives in you. So how I treat you is how I treat Jesus. That's what that scripture says in Matthew 25. He says, when did I feed you? When did I build you a house? Going to go to heaven, they're going to say, hey, thank you for that house. Jesus is going to walk up and say, thank you for that house. Talon, thank you. You're going to say, well, Lord, when did I give you a house? Well, you remember in Honduras, that family? As much as you did it to them, you did it to me. You did that to me. Well, how we treat each other, Christ in you. If he's in you, he's in me. How I treat you is how I'm treating Jesus. As we take communion, and I'm not saying every sickness, folks. I'm not saying it's because you sin. I'm not saying that. There's sin and sickness are just in the world. They're here. But the Bible says you can receive healing during communion. So here's what I want to do this morning. We're going to take communion, and I'm going to offer a simple prayer. I really would love for folks that want me to lay hands on them, I'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you. Someone said they had an ear problem, or you guys come up, we'll lay hands. But when you take communion, I want you to believe in your heart that all your sins are forgiven. If you've got things you need to confess, you don't need to tell me, tell the Lord. Say, Jesus, I talked about my mother-in-law, whatever. I'm going to make it right. Take to communion, receive forgiveness, and when you receive forgiveness, receive your healing this morning. How? Believe. Trust in the Lord. And then for those, I really would love to lay hands. I want to agree with you and lay hands on you. You come up, I'll pray for you. So elders, would you come up? We're going to examine the body. Jesus, the Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. He took on his body, his stripes were healed. It says he bore our sins in his body. And it says by his blood he washed our sins away. We can examine the body of Jesus. If we need to discern our relationships and our love walk, it's time to say, Lord, forgive me, and receive that forgiveness. And then take communion without condemnation. Someone say no condemnation. In Jesus' name. All right, guys.